and very welcome. On behalf of the network of Pan-European radio stations, Euronet, and on this very special occasion of the launching of the brand new website that will connect university campus radio stations from all over the block, I would like to welcome you all here today to discuss the first ever interactive debate on youth employment right here in the European Parliament in Brussels. And as this new website will be managed by youth and directed to youth, and considering that getting a job is one of the biggest priorities for young people, we decided to tackle the topic of youth employment, unemployment today in these times of austerity. So in order to do that, we are delighted and honoured to have the EU's top chief for employment and social affairs here with us today, Commissioner Laszlo Andor. Thank you very much for coming along here today. Over the next 30 minutes or so, we will hear some insights from our special guest through a questions and answers panel here on the round table. I would also like to welcome our studio audience, who are here from all around the European Union. We look forward to hearing your comments, your opinions, your testimonials, and of course, your questions. And for those of you who couldn't join us here in Brussels today, you can follow us on Facebook or on our website, connect.euronet.eu, and leave your comments obviously there. So let's start with Commissioner Laszlo Andor. To give you a bit of background, he's a Hungarian economist, a holder of a PhD in economics, and since the 10th of February 2010, he has had the position of Commissioner for Employment, Social Affairs and Inclusion. He has a five-year mandate as EU's Chief of Employment and is involved in many areas like fighting poverty, guaranteeing a faster and more effective use of EU funds, boosting social dialogue, and improving conditions in the workplace. But also on his mandate is a big priority for him, and that's dealing with the critical situation of youth unemployment. So he's an idyllic guest to have here today to join in this interactive debate. So, Mr. Andor, the floor is yours if you'd like to share some inspiring words with us.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks very much for the opportunity to be with you this afternoon and speak about these extremely serious topics. Because the crisis of the last 3 years made a very severe impact on society in Europe, but especially the young people. If I need to describe why this crisis was so tough, the rise of youth unemployment is probably the figure which is relevant to cite. Now we have on average 25% of the age group, those under 25, who are not at school or in employment, and this is significantly higher than before the crisis. The rise of youth unemployment was sharper than average unemployment across all age groups. So this is a signal that we need to do a lot more to provide jobs, and especially the first job, the first employment experience for the young people. We practically need to change the model, the practices of employment within the EU, and especially in the countries where youth unemployment is excessively high, more than one-third of the age group. There are about six countries like that, the Baltic states, Slovakia. Now Greece and Ireland is slipping into this group, and you probably know that Spain has the highest youth unemployment rate with about 40%, which is really dramatic. Now, these are the extremes. The good news is that there are some countries on the other end where the youth unemployment is relatively low, and there are definitely some practices, some experience from which we can learn. These good performers are Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, where education, training has performed much better, and also the employment services have been more successful in keeping the young people in employment and bringing them to jobs. So this is the general landscape. It's really a lot of concern about how many young people are out of job, and also for those who are in job, what are the conditions of employment. We need to improve both the number of young people in jobs, but also the employment conditions of those who already found a job.
Well, joining us here as well on the panel this morning are students from the campus radios from all over the European Union. So I'll just present them. Here on the left is Sasha from Bonn in Germany. He's been highly involved with Bonn Campus Radio 96.8 for over 6 months, and he's a technical journalism student. So he has a question for you in just a minute. I'm just going to present from the Universidad de Salamanca in Spain, Guillermo, or William in English, as you like to call yourself too.
Yes, thanks.
Guillermo is studying media and communication at the University of Salamanca, but he's been actually collaborating with a Euronet radio station, Punto Radio, for the last few years. So he'll be asking you a question, hopefully, if we have time, in the next few minutes as well. Now we have Andrei from UBB Radio Romania. He's a journalism student and a keen photographer. He's been involved with the UBB Radio for just a month, but you like it so far?
Yes, it's very good.
And our fourth guest here is Matus from, I'm not even going to dare pronounce your second name. How do you pronounce it?
Vodarczyk.
Vodarczyk. It's not so bad. 21 years old, from Warsaw, living, as you say, in the wonderful capital of Poland. He's a journalism student and looking forward to asking his question as well. But first of all, let's start with Sasha from Bonn. What would you like to ask the commissioner?
All right. Thank you for the first opening question. Dear commissioner, young people have to be very flexible today. Many of them are in an unstable situation, going from one short-term employment to another. Caught in this situation, they cannot make up future plans. And so my question to you is, how can companies be motivated to offer more long-term employments to young people?
Well, indeed, the type of contracts that have been offered to the young people, and not just in the last couple of years, but in the last decade, have not been the best. There has been a tendency, and this is a tendency which we do not only need to understand, but also reverse. There was a tendency to provide more fixed-term contracts to young people, and it was increasingly difficult in the recent period to have a permanent contract if you are young. And then it pushes up the opportunity of the first permanent contract to the age of 30 or beyond. And why is this a problem? To some extent, you know, flexibility is a good thing. But on the other hand, the problem is that if you don't have a certainty of your employment, you don't have a permanent income, you don't feel material stability, you start your family later, and this is bad not just for you know, starting families, but also having social security in the long run. So there's a lot of negative outcome out of this. Well, the Commission has put forward already last year, and we are now actively advocating it, a different type of contract, which is the single open-ended contract, which starts with a general contract comparable with the level of protection in case of fixed-term contracts, but the point is that without interruption, you would gradually develop this employment contract into the level of protection of the permanent contracts. And the point is to eliminate the interruption, which the young people very often experience, and I would add very often experience unnecessarily. And this would, of course, provide the employers with a certain test period. The test period, I think, is justified because they need to test whether the person is really the right one for the particular job. But if that turns out to be the case, without interruption, they could go forward and continue with a more permanent contract. We are advocating this solution across practically all member states, but especially in countries where the young people have been pushed to fixed-term contracts excessively.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much for that question. Now, Commissioner Andor, earlier you said that Spain was, in fact, the country with the highest rate of youth unemployment. So we have here from Salamanca our aspiring journalist, Guillermo, who would like to ask you a question about that.
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you, everybody, you know, for being here, the opportunity, which means being here in my name, the name of my university, and also the radio station. I want to thank you, Mr. Lasso, for being here attending on our questions. And you were right, we're talking about the high unemployment Spanish rate. My question is directly related with that. According with ADECO's 2010 report, the exodus of non-Spanish people who left their countries looking for job opportunities has doubled in the last 2 years. Most of them choose the European Union to, you know, for immigrating, and they have a common profile. they are, or we are, young people between 25 and 35 years old and with high level of studies. In fact, the highest level of studies ever had in Spain. We think that the best option for us, for Spain, would be to substitute this void by bringing new young immigrants to fill it. So, and this is a question, what should the Spanish market offer to the European high-qualified youngsters to make itself attractive for themselves?
Thanks.
Well, Spain is a country with a very high level of inward but also outward mobility. Yeah. So it's not only that people from Spain, especially young people, look for jobs in other countries, but Spain also attracts a lot of people, and not only from Europe and Eastern Europe included, Romania, which recently joined the EU, but Latin America and other countries find Spain as an attractive point. The problem is that now it's not so attractive because of the very high level of unemployment, and the question is why it is the case. I think it's a multiple failure of many systems in society, starting with the education system, but also the economy that did not experience a very balanced development in the recent decade, but it was excessively focusing on a few industries like construction, like tourism, which went down with the crisis like a lead balloon. So the question is, where Spanish youngsters can look around for jobs. I don't think they should just completely give up on Spain itself, because there has to be, once the country is stabilized, also financially, there has to be a restart of economic growth which should offer jobs. But indeed, the key point is mobility and learn languages. Learn professions that can be better, more competitive across Europe and more applied to the forthcoming cycle of the European economy. Now, in order to find out what jobs, what skills will emerge in the coming period, the Commission is putting forward a few key initiatives, which is the European Vacancy Monitor, which will help people, but especially the young people, to see in the European space how the labor market is moving, what, in what professions, what jobs are coming up, in what particular regions. We also advocate, together with the responsible commissioner, Mrs. Vassiliou, the recognition of certificates and diplomas. This is absolutely key, because sometimes if you come from country A, you have difficulties to get a job in country B or C, because your diploma, your certificate, is not easily translatable and not necessarily recognized. Mm-hmm. There is a lot to do in this area, and all countries have to agree that this is in the European interest, and especially in the interest of the young people who are looking for the jobs, to make progress in this respect.
Thank you. Okay, and on that note, speaking of Spain, we would like to play a clip now from Radio Salamanca that has been prepared especially for today's event. While they're preparing the clip, will you just briefly tell us about the clip, about making the clip?
Spain, 24% of unemployment, 40% of young unemployment.
Spain, 45 million people, 20 million of people working, one out of four employment.
Spain, 12th rank of GDP, but 23rd of GDP per capita. Economy based on tourism and brake industry.
Not enough money for research, therefore the investigators have to work abroad. How can this be explained? Is Bologna reaching its target of enabling students to access to the job market?
We've been to Brussels in order to find a solution.
We are a million of people that are all the same, and every day it becomes clear that we must continue our education. Today, you have to excel beyond what is required of you and stand out from the rest. We just want enough money to survive, and that means finding a job whenever and however possible.
Well, I'm a student, and nowadays it's harder to find a complementary job. So it's almost impossible to study and work at the same time. And when I finish my studies, the best option is trying to get a public job, working for the government, or something like that.
Radio Universidad, on 89.nil FM.
Okay, guys, I'm afraid you're going to have to leave the panel and allow our friends from Trinity FM, from Sweden, from Radio Urubru, with a very strange pronunciation there, and from UNED. So thanks, guys, for joining us here. And we'll see you later on, where you guys will both get to ask your questions. Unfortunately, you didn't get a chance now. Okay. In the meantime, while this transition is taking place, I would like to ask my audience, does anyone have a question? Sorry, I can't turn around because it won't pick up on the sound. But as you can see, there are people here from Euronet who will provide you with the microphone. If you would like to be brave enough and ask the first question from the floor to our commissioner. I can't really see. No? We have one question over there. Just present us. Tell us who you are and where you're from. Thanks.
Hello. Hi. I'm the communications manager of the European Students Union, and I've got a question about the EU budget. I was wondering what the commissioner thinks about increasing the budget, the EU budget, on higher education, and how this would help to improve the employment levels. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. As we, this is not the commissioner for education, that is in fact Vasiliu, but maybe you have some insights anyway. As an economist, I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do participate in the budgetary discussions because we are all preparing for the next financial framework. But we cannot say a lot of certain about this. The point is that, yes, we need to focus more efforts and also more resources for helping the young people, but it's not necessarily budgetary expenditure. We should do as much as possible in that context, but we have room to develop, for example, student loans. I think there is a room to develop scholarships for students, but also young workers, young entrepreneurs, but also student loans that would help more students come to other countries and do studies and use it in the labor market later. This is an opportunity. It's not necessarily a grant, but it could help immensely a lot of young people.
Thank you very much for that. And for those watching on connect.euronet.eu, please leave us your comments or send them in here so we can get to your questions as well by the end of the show. But now, as you can see, the faces have changed. So it's time now to introduce Matthew Taylor from Trinity FM, so from Dublin. Matthew is only 19. It's his first time here in Brussels, and he's a history student. So he's looking forward to, I'm sure you could ask a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah,
the state of Ireland at the moment. I'll just introduce the rest of the panel. We also have Rodrigo from Madrid, and he's studying at the University UNED. It's like the Universidad de Distancia.
Distance Learning University.
So distance learning. Mm-hmm. And you're a student of politics and diplomacy, I believe.
Sorry?
You're a student of politics and diplomacy.
Politics and democracy.
Oh, and that's democracy. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So thanks for coming as well. And we have Martin from Sweden, who's actually German, but an expert now on Scandinavia because he's studying their media. So he has a question prepared for you as well. So, Matthew, if you'd like to start.
Yep. Firstly, hello, Commissioner. Thank you very much for coming. Of course, Ireland is a country which is suffering particularly badly at the moment in the financial crisis. A recent study said that there is 36.4% unemployment for under-25s. So do you think that the currently high level of youth unemployment, not just in Ireland but in Europe as a whole, is a result of the economic crisis in particular, or is it part of a systematic problem?
We have both. The point is that even before the crisis, which started in most of the European countries in 2008, there was too high unemployment in the European Union. And the crisis just added to that about 7 million more unemployed is what we have now. So if the figure now is about 24 million, it's easy to tell that even before the crisis it was too high. And that's why we need a focused effort, not just to come back to where we were in 2008, but to correct the model, which was the model of economic and social development before the crisis. That's the aim of the Europe 2020 strategy, which set a 75% employment rate target to be reached by 2020. And if we manage to reach that, it would mean that we managed to correct the path which we were on before the crisis period.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Now, Rodrigo, if you have your question.
Yes, thank you. Well, you just partially answered my question, actually. As you mentioned before, we have a current unemployment rate in Spain of 90%, and which doubles, actually, when we talk about youth unemployment, nearly 40%, which is extremely high. And well, my question is, given the employment goal set by the EU 2020 strategy and taking into account the current economic situation, do you think that these goals are still realistic nowadays? And what can be done at the European level to achieve them?
Yes, these goals are realistic. The point is that the 75% is a European average, which we would like to reach. And I already know that some of the member states, some of the large member states, set their targets to 77 or 78%. So altogether, I'm confident that the 75 is realistic. But it's true that we need to work hard. And it's not only the employment services that need to work hard. It also depends on the macroeconomic conditions. If there is for too long financial instability and a recession, a forced austerity in some of the member states, of course you can start later your catching up process with the European average. So it takes a very focused effort of many policies, the macroeconomic policies, the education policies, the employment policies, the social policies. So if we can coordinate all this much better than before, we can maintain our course towards the 2020 targets.
Thank you. Thank you. And now Martin from the University of Oviedo.
Commissioner, at the moment, a lot of graduates have to perform at least one or more internships before they are even able to get a job in their field of studies. So what do you suggest is the plan of the European Union in order to help students to get a proper job in the workforce and not being used as cheap labor?
Well, internship is not necessarily bad. If it's abused, obviously it's not helpful, and obviously it doesn't help the young people or anyone to come closer to permanent employment. Challenges is manifold. The question is how quickly the employment services or other labor market institutions can identify whether your skills are matching the needs of an employer or a firm or a company or a public agency anywhere in your country or potentially in other countries as well. So for this, we need to improve the skill content of the education, by the way, but also the transparency of the labor market and improve the capacity of matching the skills that are on the supply with those in demand.
Okay, and now I would like to go back to Radio Warsaw, to Matus, who was sitting up here, but he didn't get a chance. So now you can ask your question there, if we can find the Euronet staff with the microphone. Just right over here, we need a microphone.
So my question was connected with the programs of European Council, of programs for toward the journalists, the students of journalists. There are many of them, so I would like to ask if the European Commission have some other ideas to make some programs to some other profession, to students of others' professions. That's my question.
I'm not aware of kind of similar programs. Obviously, the benefit of bringing students of journalism is not simply to give an experience, but the point is that your voice is multiplied and is heard by many others, and you can tell very well about your experience and the discussions you have in Brussels. I think to the extent there is a concrete benefit of having similar programs in case of other professions, there should be no obstacle to that. The Commission and also the European Parliament has a capacity to organize various programs that bring people to Brussels and also young people to have a European experience, a European exchange of ideas, and tell at home, or use at home, what you learned in Brussels.
Because there are, in fact, a lot of aspiring journalists or journalism students in the audience here today. And there is a program by the European Commission called Erasmus for Journalists, which looks quite interesting. I think it is still in the process of kind of development, but it is something very interesting. Okay, and let's go now to a journalism student from Romania, from UBB, who didn't get a chance to ask his question earlier.
Mr. Commissioner, I have a question also. People with working experience have higher chances to be hired in the detriment of the young graduates, which don't have too much experience. My question is, are there any programs at a European level through which employers are encouraged to employ young graduates without too much experience? And if so, do these employers have benefits in doing so?
Well, in the last 2 or 3 years, when this question was extremely relevant, some countries applied very good practices which others can follow. The best one is probably the so-called youth guarantee, that if after a couple of months someone leaving university or college doesn't find a job, the state guarantees a place in higher education in order to spend time usefully and perhaps to start the next search with more success than in the previous case. It may be the fault of the content of the previous education, but it may just be the fault of the actual state of the labor market, that someone doesn't find a job immediately or within 5 or 6 months. In that case, I think it's justified to intervene by public authorities and provide an opportunity to continue to study something which perhaps might be more competitive in the next time around. But also the apprenticeships and the traineeship opportunities have been enhanced in the recent period. I think we learned a lot, and if we have some good examples in the recent period, they will certainly help when the recovery comes and the pressure will be less on young people than now.
Thank you very much for that. And what is your principal objective as the Commissioner? You've got 4 more years left of this mandate. What would be your dream, for example, for young people?
Well, I have less than 4 years left in this office. The point is that at half-time of the Europe 2020 strategy, which will be towards the end of the mandate of the Barroso II Commission, we have to see results. We have to see the decline of unemployment very steadily. We have to see very clearly the rise of the employment rate in a more balanced way than now. The question is not simply to anticipate improving statistics on average. The point is that all member states should come into the phase of the prosperity, and now the situation is not yet that. There are some countries which not only are out of the recovery zone, but still experience recession and rising unemployment, despite on averages the European picture is already improving. So we need a more balanced and a more dynamic recovery also in terms of jobs, and to see results towards the end of this commission.
Okay. We have 2 minutes left, if anyone would like to ask a question again from the audience.
Hello. My name is Letizia and I'm coming from the European Youth Forum. I would like to take again the issue of internships. We have no statistics and no idea of how many young people are in internships at the moment, but we do know from life experience that many of them are unpaid or many of them are captured in the loop of internships. Do you see any possibility of the European Union to legislate about the rights of interns in Europe so that their situation is actually controlled, or at least they are encouraged to take quality internships rather than just internships as such? Thank you.
I definitely do see a possibility in this area. Recently, a Danish member of the European Parliament, Ms. Turunen, produced a report about youth employment. And this is full of interesting analysis and also suggestions. And the Commission is now looking at this and see what can be put forward and implemented in the coming period, especially in order to avoid bad experience and in order to avoid the abuse of internships or apprenticeships. So we have to improve the conditions for that. We have to work very close with the member states in order to achieve results here.
Yes, Emily Turunen, she's the youngest MEP here in the European Parliament just 26. And she's the one who kind of drafted those famous words, let's turn generation lost into generation hope. I don't know why they've really stuck to me because they're quite frightening and depressing. But anyway, at this stage, we would like to thank Commissioner Lazowander for joining us here today for this interactive debate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Now we're going to listen to a clip from Radio Warsaw while we... look forward to the next part, which will take place at 7:30. So, Commissioner Andrew, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks very much.